This Rig Rundown is presented by the Yamaha DXR Series.
Hey everybody, this is Steve Cook with Premier Guitar, premierguitar.com, here with Jake Bowen.
How you doing?
Of Periphery. How are you doing?
Good.
Good to see you. Welcome to Nashville. We're in Exit Inn down here in the Ellison Place area. Did you get some food today?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah, make sure you eat.
There's tons of food around here. It's really hard to make a choice.
We're known for that in Nashville. Well, welcome. We're here to talk some gear, and you're holding your signature model Ibanez guitar.
Correct.
Can you run us through this?
I can. This is an Ibanez JBM-100. It has, it's a six-string guitar. A lot of people think we play seven-string, but we also play six-string. And it's a mahogany guitar with a maple top on it. It has a maple binding. It's loaded with my DiMarzio Titan pickups. And it's a really swell guitar. I mean, if you just look at it, it's got all these really swell features, like a matte finish, and it's a black and gold color scheme, and matching tuners, and even a satin gold Ibanez logo. And it's got a really nice thin neck profile. So if you like shredding or playing metal and really fast stuff, it's nice to play it on this guitar.
And one. Volume knob.
Yeah.
Because that's all you need.
This is like kind of like a bone of contention with a lot of people. They're like, I want my tone knob, and I try to tell people that I always just bump the tone knob and never recognize that it's rolled off, and then I'm like, what's wrong with my tone? And then so now I have it off, it's just a volume knob, it's out of the way, and that's just the way I likes it.
Pickups wound hot?
Yeah, these are particularly hot pickups. They're passives.
Okay.
But I don't really mess with the active pickups too much, but.
And what was the process going back and forth with DiMarzio on these?
Well, I wanted to make a pickup that could handle all the applications and periphery that we have, because my role as a guitar player is to play a lot of the clean passages, the leads, solos, rhythms, and stuff. So I needed a set of pickups that could do both.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to find that middle ground, because it's very easy to go off the deep end one way or another.
Right.
So I sent Steve Blucher at DiMarzio. He's a great guy to work with, a bunch of clips of periphery stuff that I really liked. And he actually nailed it on pretty much the first try. Like, I had like one little tweak, but he got the set I needed right away. So, and actually they were developed specifically for this guitar, because I actually got offered the signature guitar before the pickups. So I told DiMarzio, I'm like, hey, I'm getting a guitar. Would you guys like to do a set of pickups?
Right.
And they're like, yeah. And that's kind of why they're black and gold, to match the rest of the guitar.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so we just talked about your number one signature model. In your left hand now you have a new string, an additional string. And this is not necessarily your signature model, but this is a custom job. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, as you can see, they both look pretty similar. This was actually the first guitar to get built for me by Ibanez. This is an LA custom shop Ibanez, and these are particularly rare, but this is a seven-string version, and the differences are pretty subtle. They have the same set of pickups in it, except one of them's a seven-string version. Some of the hardware is a little bit different color, but generally the aesthetic is the same, and the playability is the same. Like I mentioned earlier, we play six, sevens, and eight-string guitars, or we don't just play six-string guitars, is what I said, I think. But it's just the seven-string version of this with just a couple of different hardware tweaks to it. This one's made in America, and this one's made in Japan. But they're both outstanding instruments. But the woods are the same, pickups are the same, color scheme's pretty much the same. So.
So this guy inspired this guy.
Yeah, actually.
Or is this guy?
Yeah. This did inspire the signature, okay. And this was a couple of drives back and forth from my accountant's office that I came up with the idea of this guitar, and then it spawned this one. So I don't know. It's been kind of a cool thing, because people really like the aesthetic. Like, there are a lot of matte finished guitars, but this one kind of has like a graphite gray metallic to it. Not too much of a difference between the two, except for the seventh string.
All right, Jake, through the power of editing, we've gotten rid of the guitars, and now we're on to your rig, which is nice, tight, compact.
Thank you.
Load-in takes like 16 seconds.
Yeah, that's the goal, to make it real nice and easy.
Walk us through.
You got it. So We have a very complex rig, but it's actually very simple at the same time. We run direct typically, and that sound goes directly from our AxeFX 2 XLs directly to the front of house console. And generally, that's a great way to get a really consistent sound every night. Our sound guy doesn't have to fumble with mics and kind of get the, you know, kind of get the general sound every night. He gets the same exact feed every night. So that's kind of the benefit of using the AxeFX, and you have all your effects as well as your tones. So you can have it all in a two-space rack, which is really, really nice. So it does create a problem, though, if you go just direct in a lot of venues, because what'll happen is that you'll have the PA hanging above the left and right side of the venue, and everybody behind the first couple of rows can hear everything just fine. But everybody who wants to get up front, and up close and personal, and really get like the fun, you know, moshy part of the show, right, kind of misses out on the guitar. So what we added is a QSC PLD 4.3, and it's a power amp. It's a solid-state power amp, and it powers our Zilla Fatboy 2x12s, in which we have, both Mark and I have generally the same cabinet. Mine has a Creamback H and a Vintage 30 speaker in it. But now we have stage volume for guitars, so the people in the front row don't miss out. And so that's kind of how this rig works. And we have to route it a certain way in the AxeFX, so our sound guy gets the direct tone, and we get the amp tone going to the cab.
Before the cab showed up, were you on ears?
Yes, we've been on ears for quite a while.
And so you're still on ears?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we there's actually a whole other section to the rigs, which kind of is like this global mastermind for all the rigs. So we can go into that in a little bit.
Excellent. Now, what sort of modeling are you using for your side of things? And we'll talk to Mark in a second about his.
Let's see what we're using now. We are using the 6160 block letter, which I guess is the emulation of the 6160 PVM. Mm-hmm. But it's a very, very simple chain. We just use the amp and an overdrive pedal, and we don't complicate it. We used to complicate it with all these different blocks and compressors and stuff, but we realized that we get more organic tone by simplifying it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So you control this how?
Well, it can be controlled a number of ways, but the way we do it mainly is through a laptop running Pro Tools that's sending MIDI signals to the AxeFX XL. And it means that we have to play to a click, so mm-hmm. we can line everything up,
right,
and our drummer plays to a click, and we all play to a click, and it lines everything up, so everything is precise and right on the beat for when it needs to change sounds. And I change sounds quite a bit, so like if you looked at like the MIDI lane in Pro Tools, you'll see all these little clicks, and every time the cursor runs it over, it switches on my AxeFX. But that's over there behind the rig, so I don't know if you can see that in the shot.
We'll get over there in a second.
Yeah.
But just to clarify, he said play to the click, not mime or emulate or
right,
pantomime to the click.
Right.
So it's not Pro Tools that are just playing guitar tracks for you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so no, that would be foolish, and
that,
anybody who
bad.
Does that should be fired.
Burned in a building square.
Yes. But yeah, and just regarding the nature of Periphery's music, is very technical, and sometimes it can be very notey, and playing to a click really allows us to lock in and be extremely tight,
right,
extremely surgically tight. So that's kind of the, you know, there's a whole range of positives to running to a click.
So the only thing we didn't talk about is the signal path, the Furman to the line six. Well, you're powering a Furman signal to the line six.
Yeah.
Into the fractal.
These things are great. The Line 6 V75s, these are half rack versions of, we used to use the G90, which is a full rack, so it took up a lot more space on our rack. So we actually got to scale it down and use the V75, which you could use for a number of things. But it really just frees us from having wires all over stage. And we also run wireless in-ears. So we're completely wireless. We can go anywhere on stage that we want to go and perform how we want to perform. And we're not slowed down by cables. And the belt pack is, actually I'm wearing it right now. It's just this little thing right here.
Beautiful.
And
it is an extremely clean stage. You guys can't see the runway over here, but there are no pedal boards. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's controlling back here. So
I will. I will give a nice little mention to Fractal. They provide us with the MFC 101, which is their pedal board for the AxeFX, and we keep them as backups in case, God forbid, anything happens
right
to the thing. We can still play the show.
Excellent.
So
Excellent. All right, so tell us about the Pro Tools rig.
Well, we run Pro Tools off of a MacBook Pro, just one of the regular 13-inch MacBook Pros. And we have several lanes of things going on. We have MIDI lanes that are controlling the patch changes on our AxeFX. And we have we do have some synthesizer backing tracks going on because we already have six members. Paying a seventh keyboard player would be so horrible already. So like we don't want to do that. It's basically the thing that it's kind of a show on rails. We can't really deviate too far from what right. we have our set program,
right.
but it does make it a lot more easier to. We don't have to tap dance on pedal boards any longer, and it's a really resilient way to have a show like this, because a lot of people just like play with like a split track with an iPhone, and
right.
this is like a way more specific way to get what we need with patch changes and synthesizers and stuff going. We have a Motu MIDI interface handling the MIDI changes. We have an RME UFX, I think it is. Yeah, we have a RME UFX interface a number of other gadgets that provide our wireless in-ear mixes.
Okay.
Oh, and we just have a new addition, and I'm glad I remember to talk about this. We just bought a Behringer X32 rack, and that's like our new in-ear mixer. We used to have like a regular Crest like multi-track mixer,
right.
but now we have just a two-space, that's a four-space, I think. It's a four-space rack, X32, and it's great because we control all our mixes with our iPads now. So it's really easy. You just walk in, you have your mixer. We usually put them like right here or right here, and we don't have to stumble over to the mixer anymore. Everybody has their own little personal mixer.
You don't find Mark playing like Candy Crush while he should be mixing.
Actually, I did catch that guy doing that, and I yelled at him.
Okay, just making sure.
But
you guys are like the model of efficiency. I mean, because we do these for a lot of people, and we see these massive guitar rigs, massive racks, massive everything, and like I said before, it's just.
Well, that's thank you. I mean,
sure.
like it's I can't take full credit for it. I mean, a lot of that is Misha and Nolly are really the AxeFX guys that like make all the tones and you know, they structure all that stuff, and then Alex Marchides is our sound guy, and he's the guy that builds all our racks, and he suggests new gear to us, and he wires it. And if we didn't have this solid team of people helping us build this stuff, it would be, you know, just huge amps and we try to use technology as best as we can.
Speaking of, if the technology goes down, let's say you said like if the Pro Tools stops working, has that happened?
It happens maybe like once in the blue moon.
Can you tell me which show that was so I can go back and check?
Does anybody remember?
Oh, it was Knoxville.
Right on.
Yeah,
right on. Knoxville. Now, because you said you are to the grid, you're to the script basically when you are on Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Did you stick to the script that night?
No. We played just
whatever you wanted at that
no
point.
No patch changes, no nothing. It was just like go. We played. That's
right
it. Yeah.
Right on.
It was cool though. It was like a different vibe.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to talk to the rest of you boys. And thanks for taking
time
to
say. Appreciate
Thank you. We are now on the good side of the stage, I've been told, with Misha Mansour, who is holding a beautiful instrument. Talk to me about this guy.
This is a Jackson Custom Shop 7-string right here. And it features a basswood body, which I know doesn't sound that impressive, but is just my favorite. I've experimented with so many woods, and basswood just works so well, especially when paired with a gorgeous quilted maple top in this case, which is kind of thick. I think it's about 5/8 of an inch right there. We got a very, very simple maple neck there. And the reason for that is because you want your necks to be stable on tour, and sometimes the fancy stuff just moves all around. But in case it does, we have the truss rod adjustment right there. So it's super easy. That's like Ernie Ball or EVH style right there. And good old ebony fretboard, because you can't go wrong with ebony. Now, one of my favorite features about this guitar is the lumen lays right there. Those little dots there will glow at you as long as you charge them. But they don't emit light. They absorb it, so it's not going to be lighting up your face. It's just for you. We've got hip shot locking tuners on this bad boy to keep everything nice in tune. And last but definitely not least, the bare knuckle juggernaut set that we have right here, which is actually my signature pickup with Juggernaut. This one has Tiger covers and a little laser etched bulb logo on it, which anyone can get actually. Yeah, so that's pretty much the guitar right there.
Beautiful. Is it heavy?
It's not. I mean, like for a seven especially. I mean, here, hold it. It's not super heavy. I'm not into the heaviest guitars in the world. I actually like lighter guitars. I like nice dense necks and light bodies. Right. And that's one of the reasons I go with basswood for the body wood. It's very consistent.
Excellent. Excellent.
And
let's move on to your, can we talk about the orange one?
We'll talk about the orange
one. Well, we're in Tennessee. It's kind of, dare I say.
Should I talk about the six string counterpart to this or first?
Well, of course.
Let's do the six string counterpart
first. Let's get its sister out here. It's a little brother.
Little brother right here, which is basically the same thing as you can see. Same sort of setup, except six string version. This one actually has uncovered pickups because back when this guitar was getting built, these were prototypes and secrets and I couldn't tell anyone what they were. So that's why they look just kind of nondescript like that. And yep. Oh, one other thing is like that's volume, that's tone way out of the way because I never really use that live, just in the studio. We got the five-way, which does like inner and outer coils on 2 and 4 for all the nice, beautiful, sparkly, clean tones.
And what gauges and kind of strings are you using on that?
So we are using D'Addario across the board. They're our favorite strings. They last longer than anything else and they are super bright, which for our style of music works perfectly. I'm using the 11 to 52 set on the 7th string, mm-hmm. plus a 64 as the 7th string, and the very simple 11 to 56 set on the 6th. That's drop C tuning and drop A flat tuning, wow. respectively. And you were talking about the orange guitar.
Yes.
So this thing is barely a guitar in any way that you know. This is made out of a material called Arium. I think I'm saying that right. This guitar was built in the Netherlands and by a bunch of crazy Netherlandians, Dutch
yes.
people,
yeah, sure.
right? And this one also has a bare knuckle Juggernaut set, this time in chrome to match all the wonderful chrome hardware on this. The only piece of wood on this guitar is the ebony fretboard. And this is like kind of a one piece construction. As I understand it, it's actually like soft and they kind of mold it into an exoskeleton. And that sounds all fancy and futuristic. But the real question everyone wants to know is, does it actually sound any good? And it actually does. It has a lot of sustain, and it's a little bit heavier than I would normally go for on a guitar, but it doesn't seem to have any sort of negative impact on the tone. And I've been using this. It's very, very road ready, like neck's not really moving around
at
all.
It's pretty consistent.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that's one of those things that, at least for touring bands, is super important because it's a real pain to be adjusting your neck and, you know, getting your action just right every day. So you want something that can really handle any climate and right. still be like rock solid. So it's a really, really cool guitar. It's made by Aristides. This is the 070 model.
All right, so we move from here to here.
Yep, now we are at the rack.
Now we're at the rack, so let's run through this girl over here.
So this is actually very similar to the setup on the other side of the stage in that we are starting out with these Line 6 XDV75 units, which are our wireless receivers. They're connected to the G90 packs. So that allows us to be wireless on stage. We're all using wireless in-ears, so this means complete freedom, especially with the fact that we have no pedals or pedal boards whatsoever. It's all controlled with the laptop. The only thing I actually have hooked up to my AxeFX over here, which is my tone generator, is this one Mission pedal, TT Pro Expression knob, and that just controls the input gain on the AxeFX, which is something that I like to control. But other than that, it's all in there.
Now, when you say you control it, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you can't control it from inside the drawer.
I just kind of leave it. Like, it's not something okay. I mess with a lot, but
okay.
you know, the reason is because sometimes we are in smaller stages or you're closer to the cab or to the PA and you might be feeding back a bit and I can just kind of turn that knob down a bit and all problems are solved.
I got you. What are you modeling amp or effect wise?
So I have the PVH6160 block, which is the PV5150 block letter model emulation on the AxeFX, and that is going into a custom impulse that Nolly made when we were recording our latest album Juggernaut. So that is actually of a Zilla cab. One of those ones right there.
Okay.
And it's, we used the one that was of mine, which is a Vintage 30. It's Vintage 30 and it's blue. And I must stress that the fact that the cab was blue makes the impulse sound a lot better. But these ones here, are, well, they're actually running from the AXFX through this QSC PLD 4.3 power amp, which is very transparent, so that the AXFX can do all the work. This just makes it louder and come out of that. And this has the wonderful Celestion Vintage 30 on one side and the Creamback H on the other, which is a lovely combo. This cab is a little bit different from the cabs that Mark and Jake are using, just in dimensions and in the fact that it's white, and unfortunately a lot better than theirs as a result. I can't say that.
You know, I'm picking up on a theme over here. You are a color based, like rainbow, and you know, is that some sort of? I'm just
blue is the best color in the world, is what I'm saying, and orange because it's the opposite one on the color wheel is the second best.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and thank you for sharing your.
You're very welcome.
Can I have my shoe back?
You cannot have your shoe back.
Damn
I'm out of here.
But we're going to talk to the rest of your band, and thank you. Have a great show tonight.
Thank you very much, nice. Guys.
We are here with Nolly. Actually, this is a before and after of the shaving portion of our show. Just playing. Nolly, thanks for being here.
Pleasure.
Holding down the low end for the band.
Trying to, yeah.
Well, let's talk about your gear. Let's grab your number one bass.
Let's talk
about that.
Yeah, so the main bass that I play on this tour is. It's actually a signature model that I designed with Dingwall Guitars, which is the company that I use. They make exclusively fanned fret instruments,
yep.
Which are just, it's like the most amazing technology to have for bass guitar when you're trying to tune as low as we do. With the guys tuning as low as an F sharp. In fact, on the new album, there's a song tuned down to a C or C sharp or something like that. So nearly an octave lower than a five string bass would normally be tuned. You need a little bit of extra length. Kind of like a grand piano is way longer on the bass end than on the treble end. Same thing goes on here. So this is actually, it's a kind of just a modification of their Combustion model, which is one of their kind of entry level models, but it's just a fantastic touring instrument. So this one has an ebony board, but that's actually not the correct spec. This was a prototype, and in about 2 days, I have a maple-bordered neck arriving that I'm going to put on this,
because okay.
That's how it should be, that's how I wanted it to be. The ebony was an experiment, and honestly, we just thought the maple had a better sound for
us. You'll get more snap, you'll get more, you know,
yeah.
Out of it.
Plus, there's just little issues with stability with ebony, especially when it's such a huge piece.
Now, what's the scale on this?
It's got a 37-inch scale on the low end, going to a 34 on the top. Pickup-wise, it has the Dingwall's own pickups, but one of the really cool things with the switching system on this bass is you can choose to have both pickups on together, either in parallel or in series. So in series, they're stacked together, and you get this gigantic sound, and that's the setting that I use. And you can select that with the rotary four-way selector there.
Okay.
It also has a preamp made by Dark Glass Electronics, who make a pedal that lots of bassists use the B7K.
Yep.
So we designed a preamp with them, which has just the
same circuitry, or is it?
Kind of. We started with the EQ band that they had on the pedal, but modified it a little bit, and especially the mid band was one area that we really paid a lot of attention to, just trying to get like a real kind of fat sounding mid without it getting muddy, especially when we tune as low as we do. So yeah, this is my main instrument. I use this tuned down to A flat, so this would accompany the seven string material that the guys play.
Well, let's talk about the fan frets for a second.
Sure.
Because a lot of bass players are scared.
Sure, I think
the fan frets.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
A lot of people, you know, it's different. And so do you find that obviously better for you?
Yeah.
But was there a transition? Was there a period that you said,
you know what? Honestly, no. I think the only point that it starts to get a little bit weird is when you're playing up here with the bass on a strap. So you can't really see across the fretboard, because then the dots on this side kind of look like they correspond with the next fret up.
Right.
That's a little bit strange, but honestly, it takes no time at all to transition. It might look like quite an exaggerated sweep when you look at the instrument as a whole, but if you look at any two frets next to each other, it's a very minor difference in angle, really.
Right.
And especially on bass, since it's not so much of a chordal instrument. I can see on guitar especially, some chord shapes are going to get a little bit awkward with the frets bending away from you.
Oh, our natural hand, you know, position is that.
Yeah.
It's the fan, which is why they designed it like that.
Correct,
here,
yeah.
So
yeah.
But excellent. Yeah, it's a beautiful instrument.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very proud of this. And the other two instruments I have on the road are actually kind of perfect, because they demonstrate how we arrived at that bass. So this is the standard Combustion model, which I've had for nearly, I guess, just over 2 years now. It's one of my most trusty touring basses. This has the maple neck, and it just has a very different pickup layout. it's the same pickups, but they're positioned separately, and instead of a select, you have dual volumes. It also has an EMG two-band EQ, so it doesn't have a mid-band.
And did you want to move the neck pickup a little bit tighter?
Correct, that, and that's that where the other bass comes in.
Oh, so, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
It's perfect. So that's the regular combustion. And then this is one of the Canadian-made Afterburner models, so it's one of the premium ones. This is a six-string. And this is one of the best basses I've ever played, sounding and playing. This is the bass that gave us the idea of the serial pickups, because with this triple pickup layout, one of the options is these first two pickups in series. And that was a sound I instantly fell in love with.
Gotcha.
This one's cool as well because it has a Wenge neck instead of a maple neck. And especially for the really low tunings, it just gives it a huge amount of resonance. And I love this bass to death. You can see it's got plenty of
a lot of wear.
Road wear on it at this point. But
they're supposed to be played, right?
Yeah, it's all mojo.
Right.
So this and the signature model, the NG2, are the two basses we mainly use to record as well. So on the new album, you'll be hearing those two basses.
Excellent.
And the color also. This is what inspired the yellow.
Bumblebee yellow.
Yeah.
Well, let's run from this into your rig.
Sure.
So let's talk about your section over here.
Cool. So as you say, you know, it's a very similar setup for the guitars and the bass on this record, on this tour. We all run the AxeFX 2XLs, and you know, the modeling technology these days is just getting so good. There's not really any reason for us to do anything else. I also run direct to the front of house from the AxeFX, but I share the other half of our power amp to power my cabinet, which is another Zilla cab. It's a 6x10, and I have a couple of these. On this tour, we've only brought the one out. It has 200-watt Celestion speakers in that actually don't have a huge amount of low end, but what I like about that is it keeps it very tight when we're tuning as low as we do. You might think that having lots of low end coming off the cab is a good thing. In my experience, it tends to be very slow to react, and you just kind of end up with a flubby sound instead of a tight one. On the AxeFX, I'm running a kind of dual amp rig. I've got a typical kind of bass amp sound, which is using the USA Bass 400 model, which I guess is based on a Mesa amp.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other amp I'm using is a guitar amp, the 5153. So that would be the EVH guitar amp. And that has very little low end on it, and it's distorted a lot. And the combination of those two things gives me a very wide, clean bass signal with an extremely grindy, distorted mid-range. That's what really ties my bass sound into the guitar sound. And that enables us to do what we refer to as binding, which is where the bass and guitar just maintain this very close octave relationship and just sound like one gigantic instrument, which is
beautiful.
The sound that we aim for.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
And we're going to go over to the other side of the stage one more time and talk to the last victim who's been waiting.
And
okay, great. We'll get to the horn section too. So, thanks, Nally. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we are here with Mark Holcomb. Mark with a K.
With an M.
And an, okay. and an A. And, never mind. We'll talk about that later. And he once again is gracious with his time. He's going to run us through his number one guitar, which is a little bit different than the other guys.
Yeah, very different.
Talk to us.
So this is it's a special PRS private stock that they made me a couple weeks ago. And it's basically
it's brand new.
It's a newborn, if you will.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's based off of a custom 24, just a standard custom 24, but the measurements are a little bit different. It's got a slightly longer scale length, which
what
is normally 25 and a half.
Okay.
And a flatter radius is 20-inch flat radius. So I kind of like that for being able to bend a lot easier.
Right.
And it's just something I'm more accustomed to over the years. And they put their biggest frets, the DGT, sort of their jumbo version of their frets.
What kind of pickups were you using?
I'm using my custom DiMarzios. It's something that, these are pickups that me and Steve Blucher from DiMarzio have been working on for about a year and a half now. We've been prototyping since last year, and they've came out really cool. They're not anything you can get publicly yet, but they're very deliberately designed to suit my style.
Thanks for teasing everybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, hopefully, but one day, we'll see. But this is also a new bridge that they built for the guitar, and I got some slightly different like Tele style knobs on here.
Right.
So yeah, and they put a very beautiful quilted top on there, and
it's beautiful.
Yeah, and the color is pretty cool too. It's like a charcoal into a purplish.
Do you mind flipping it over for us?
Yeah, of course not.
Beautiful. All right. Okay. So flat on
black. Yeah, flat on the black. I chose no binding.
Okay.
Also, another thing that was very deliberate was the satin finish on the body and the neck. So if you feel the neck, It's no gloss.
Okay.
You know, it's, which is great for playing live, and if you sweat a lot, which I do. And yeah, glow in the dark side dots right there, which is awesome on a dark stage. I mean, this is very light right now, obviously, but when it's dark, it's super hard to see.
This has served you well over the past few weeks? And
yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's actually probably the most stable guitar I've played across different types of venues ever. So like over the past six shows, we've had sort of colder backstages, hot venues, and vice versa. And it's held up very well over the climates. Like, I barely had to tune it, which is kind of weird. So, and then the action has not shifted at all either.
Good.
So it's great, man. It's been tremendous.
Beautiful. Well, show us your number two.
Sure. So this is my main seven live. This is another PRS. This is an SE seven string that they sort of put together for me. They did a custom Battleship gray color that they don't really do for production models. But again, satin body, satin neck on the back. So I like that non-glossy, non-sticky feeling, you know.
Right.
Custom DiMarzio pickup set as well. Basically the seven string version of the six string pickups that I just showed you.
Just a different paint configuration.
Right, exactly. Stock bridge. These are, I like the tele knobs, you know. I like to feel the traction, the turning of the knobs, the resistance. But this is standard model. It's the only thing I have to say, it's a 25 inch scale right now, so it's a little bit shorter than I'm used to.
Okay.
I use it for our songs that are in drop A. So it's, and that sounds low, but it's actually not near our lowest tuning alive. So for that, I use another guitar, but this is my steady.
What gauges are you using on your strings?
For this one, dude, man, I got a 68 on the 7.
Oof.
So, I mean, that's very deliberate, again, to suit that A-flat. If I had a longer scale length, I would probably use a 64 or a 62 or something like that. But because the scale length is just so short, I had to compensate for the heavier gauge.
Gotcha.
And then just 11 through 54, I think, on the 6. I'm actually not quite sure because I haven't restrung in a couple of days. But yeah, this thing's great, man.
It's beautiful.
It's awesome. Thank
beautiful.
You.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about your rack real quick.
Cool.
All right, so it's sort of anticlimactic. We've talked to everybody else. Everybody has the same
rig.
Axe FX, but it's fantastic, you know. And it's a nice consistent thing, you know, across the board for you guys.
Yeah.
Are you running anything different effects-wise or sound-wise than the other guys?
Not really. I mean, in terms of setups we have in the band between two members that are the most similar, my setup is probably the most similar to Misha's because we play actually a lot of the same types of parts.
Okay.
We both play solos, we both play leads, but we hold down most of the sort of double tracked rhythm parts. So we had to lock in tight. We had to have tones that complement each other in the right ways and also tones that lock in with each other in all the right ways. So in terms of presets and just types of presets, they probably mimic Misha's in the most similar way. Yeah.
And how long does it take for you guys to sit around the circle and sort of come up
craft
with these tones and graft all these things out?
I mean, that's a good question. It's a very time-consuming process. This is our first tour with the XLs, which I'm sure the other guys told you, but we've been on twos for about a year and a half.
Okay.
So we started from the ground up, and Misha and Nolly are the two main sort of fractal gurus in the band, so they like to nerd out over that stuff, and we spent a lot of time developing all the tones from the ground up. I mean, that's a process that never really stops.
Right.
I'm changing my patches on a nightly basis. Like, if we soundcheck, and I have a lead tone that felt a little bit more wet last night, and I want to take some of that out tonight, I'll do that on the spot. Like, I'm tweaking my tones every single day.
Gotcha.
So it never really stops, yeah.
So tell us about the cab real quick that you're using.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different than Jake's.
A little bit different, only in appearance though. It's got the same exact speaker combination, a Celestion V30 and a Creamback. But yeah, one of my favorite things is the sort of antique-y Tolex, if you look.
Right.
It kind of looks like you found it in like an old Victorian castle or something like that.
Right,
you know?
Hand-tooled.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. But it's the same exact thing. I think Misha may have a slightly different speaker combination.
He was bragging on something over there.
Okay. Well, I'm allowed to brag about mine too.
Yeah, of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course you are.
But yeah, it sounds great so far, man.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Have a great show tonight.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you so much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.